Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of Grap City Interviews. You know us. I'm Will Washington. It's Philip Lindsay there. It's Righteous Reds there. But that's not why you're here. You're never here for the three of us. Not in Grap City Interviews. You're always here for our special guest. And here we have a very, very special guest. She is one of two contenders for the AEW Women's World Championship, getting her shot at the title this Sunday at AEW Revolution. She is the one and only Ruby Soho. Ruby, thanks for being here.
That was a great introduction.
Ruby Soho. We are just so blessed to have Ruby Soho on our show today. Look, how are you, Ruby?
I'm great. And just so you know, that is now going to be stuck in your heads for the rest of the day. So you're welcome.
Are you kidding me? It's been stuck in my head all day preparing for this interview. Literally,
many people yell at me about that. So many songs stuck in my head. I'm like,
no, honestly, though.
It's too catchy for its own good.
Sometimes you have wrestling themes stuck in your head and they're the worst. This one's not the worst. So exactly. It's great. You know,
It ended up being just the perfect combination for you. You ending up with that theme song, you ending up with the name. Yeah. And shout out Lars, who actually does host here on Fightful, hosting the Wrestling Perspective podcast. Talk to us about the theme a little bit, because, I mean, you have Taz singing it on commentary on a regular basis, which is one of the highlights.
We all love it. Who knew back in the day in ECW when him and Bam Bam fell to the ring that this is where he would land?
This is it. I love Taz so much. And that is such a constant. I think it's become something that people are like almost upset about when it doesn't happen.
Yes.
Now on commentary, for some reason, somebody's like, we need Taz to sing Ruby's theme music. One day, I don't know when it's going to be, it could, you know, be an Elevation or Dark or whatever, but I'm just going to come straight to the commentary table and put down the lyrics in front of him. This is the words to the song. Because somehow, it's pretty much the same, it's my name over and over and over again, but somehow he almost never gets it right. Never, ever, ever. I love him to death. He'd be like, Taz, just read him. Just read the lyrics. You can sing it as much as you want. Just get the words right.
Did you anticipate next to him and snap too? Because he's never on beat.
bless him. But no, he's the best. He's added a little bit to the entrance music with that that I think people follow along with. So it's pretty great.
Did you anticipate that it would be as strongly over as it would be, like when you, like going into All Out 2021, debut in Now Arena, which was already a monumental night? You ended up setting the tone for that being such a huge night, because we saw Adam Cole debut later on. We saw Bryan Danielson debut, but you really helped set the tone for what that night was going to be. Did you know, basically, with all of the preparation going into that, that theme song was going to be what it is to fans right now?
So, I knew how much I loved that song, and I knew how excited I was to use that song. I was not even remotely close to prepared, you know, a few months leading into it after I had done Lars's podcast, that was just going to essentially change my life, using the song and using the name and everything and being so overwhelmingly grateful to the band itself for allowing me to use, you know, probably, you know, one of their most popular songs that they've ever come out with. So I knew how catchy it was to me, but I wasn't sure how it was going to be perceived to the crowd. I had obviously done the vignettes prior to arriving at AEW, and I think that song really just pulled it all together. Like, I wanted to show kind of my journey along from being released until I got to AEW. And I think it really just brought it all together. And it really just put that exclamation point that it needed for me to arrive at AEW. And then now that the fans are really starting to get the words a little bit better than text, it's really becoming something that I look forward to every week. I look forward to every time I go out there is to be able to sing with them. So it's really just made my career and you know, my journey so much better.
Yeah, that's honestly awesome. I think about the fact that I never thought ever I was going to see Rancid in concert at any point, but then it turned out that Double or Nothing last year, you actually what I thought was a really, really solid performance too. Like, that's honestly
cool. Amazing. Yeah. They were amazing.
They were amazing. They played it flawlessly. Like, that was one of my favorite live performances I've seen. And I'm not just saying this. I genuinely mean, as far as wrestling is concerned, it's probably them and, like, Living Color performing Cult of Personality at WrestleMania. Yeah. Like, those are the two as far as bands performing their hit song for a wrestler down to the ring. I thought that was one of the best ones. How was it at Double or Nothing having them perform it for you?
Bro, it was... I tell everybody, like all of my fans, I let them know from the get, I will never get cooler than that moment. In coolness there. Like, it's all downhill from there. There's no way that my entrance or anything could ever get cooler. I might as well have just retired after that. It was so overwhelming to me. When we rehearsed it that day, I came out to the ring and I did my entrance and I got on the corner and like did a pose and I looked over at them playing and I just started bawling because 13-year-old me is losing her mind at how this is even fathomable, that this incredible iconic band is playing me for me. They're there for me. So cool. So it was like, I still get chills like every time I think about it. It was probably one of the top moments of my entire career, my life in general. It was just, and they were so cool and they were so much fun and like they were so rad. And like, I came to the back after I lost the match and they were in their dressing room. I went into their dressing room. They're like, come on. We came here, you lost. I was like, I'm sorry.
It's like the curse, right? Though
play again for after you won, and I was like, I'm sorry.
Right.
It's the gift and the curse, though, right?
Yeah, because I felt like I won that night anyway. Like, just you did. Having that, you won. You know? And it's so cool because they rarely, as a band that's been around, you know, over 20 years, they rarely get to do something that they've never done before. They've done it all pretty much. And so for them to be able to do something together that they haven't done before, which is, you know, play a wrestler to the ring, you could tell that they had so much fun and they were so great and they were so supportive. So
especially, awesome. Especially with how much Lars loves pro wrestling. Oh, like, God. You just know, like, the same iconic moment you were having, he was having the same thing at the same time, which is so amazing to see.
He was so excited about it. And the continued support from him is also something that I have to pinch myself on pretty often. Cause he's just, he'll, you know, tweet at me or about me or whatever all the time. And he'll text me and let me know that he liked a match I did or something. And it's still mind blowing that somebody I've looked at as a hero is somebody I can call a friend. So, wrestling's wild. Man.
He'll be there this weekend at San Francisco. You know, he's going to be alive.
I'm sure. And if I don't win again, he's going to be so mad.
Let's get into that. You're the number one contender now. You've been on a super duper hot streak since you've returned from your injury that you had. How have you felt returning? And how does it feel to be in this position as a number one contender in a triple threat match? You have another little number one contender going. How are you feeling coming back recently?
I honestly feel the best that I've felt in a really long time, like physically. I feel a lot better. You know, that not only did, you know, that 3 months that I was off, you know, help me heal from, you know, breaking my nose, but I think it helped me heal the rest of my body too. I think when I first got here, my body went into a little bit of shock because I was having matches that were a lot longer than the ones that I was having previously against a lot, I think, grittier and hungrier girls that are, mm-hmm. you know, newer and that are out to prove themselves. So I'm having longer matches, harder hitting matches, more high risk matches than I ever had before. And so I think my body was like, you're too old for this. So I think that 3 months definitely helped me do.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer? A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. But the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
A reset on everything and just really focus on healing every part of like my back, my neck, everything that like was like just, you know, little injuries that were bothering me. And so physically I feel the best that I felt in a while and I'm in a great headspace as far as like what I need to do to see the success that I want to see in my career. And obviously I'm in the exact position that I wanted to be in when I came back is to be in contention for the title. So everything's going as planned, except for this stupid, you know, being in the middle thing of this, these cat fights that continuously follow me around. Again, too old for it. Other than that, not exactly on the plan, but, but you know, I feel like my momentum leading into this pay-per-view is at the best that I have been in any of the other title contentions I've been in. So I'm very much looking forward to it.
So you are kind of in the middle of like this cat fight between the Outsiders and the Originals. And people are kind of trying to figure out where do you fall in this? Because you're not quite an original, because you're not an AEW original, even though I feel like AEW is your home, and you're not quite an outsider either. So where do you really fit?
I have kind of told a lot of people that like I don't even know how I ended up here, guys. Like, I don't know how I ended up in the middle. I feel like I was just in the wrong place at the wrong time a bunch of times where I'm just trying to come to work and I'm trying to win matches and I'm trying to go home. That's all I do. I just mind my business. I do what I need to do when I go, because I'm, again, too old for it. But now I'm in this position where I'm being pulled in both directions and I don't really want to go either. If I had to choose a side, I'm choosing my side. That's the side I'm choosing. Because at the end of the day, that's all I can depend on is me. And if I'm winning the title, I'm winning the title, not a group. I did the group thing before. I did it for 4 years. It's the best, some of the best times of my entire life. I ain't doing it again. I'm over it. I'm choosing my side. I'm choosing me, and I'm the only person I can depend on to make sure I take home that gold. So as far as the cat fight crap that keeps happening, I would love for it to just stop, but I don't know how to run away from it and still run towards the gold. I feel like it's just something I got to maneuver through in order to get to where I want to be. But yeah, it's been an ordeal.
I was going to say, because it is at least a little bit of an interesting, almost dreamlike scenario for a lot of people. Yeah. Because when you think about the fact that back in late, I think it was 2017, was it? Mm-hmm. Okay, so you had, of course, debuted the Riot Squad, but right around that same time, over on the other brand, Absolution debuted. And that was always kind of seen as a, really? Like, we're kind of doing this at the same time?
Mirroring each other a little bit.
Yeah, mirroring each other quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that ended up happening was, you know, you being the leader of this group over here, and then Saraya being seen as the leader of this group, you kind of were seen as equivalents. And then even when they did the, what did they call it at the time, the Superstar Shakeup, they swapped the two factions. Yes. And so you guys, like, never really got to face off in that way. And here we are now coming up on Revolution, and all of a sudden here we have Saraya entering the ring with Ruby Soho. You happen to have Jamie Hayter, the women's world champion, in the middle here, but for a lot of people, this is a little bit of a dream scenario. How does that feel as far as that's concerned?
So I've always been a fan of Saraya. I've always looked at her as someone who kind of paved the way for a woman like me to be accepted in the wrestling industry. I feel like, you know, alternative women with people like her and Lita, if it wasn't for them, that I would not have been as accepted as I have been, you know, over the last few years. So I definitely have monumental amounts of respect for her. And I have, obviously, when my hair was longer and it was black, because, you know, women can only be seen as similar by the color and length of their hair. I was compared to her a lot throughout my early days in my career. And while that was, you know, an honor to be compared to somebody with the talent caliber of her, I was definitely out to show that I was different, and that we are two very different competitors. And I think one of the reasons that is also, you know, a dream scenario for people is to see how different we really are. And the one way you can prove that is to step into a ring together. So I'm excited myself to see exactly how that interaction takes place. But I'm also, you know, excited to step into the ring with somebody I've had a lot of respect for a really long time.
Gonna be great. Ruby Soho is actually the perfect person here, because I've been wanting to get into a topic of discussion that tears the timeline all the way down all the time, and it's about blood. Oh yeah, I said it. Oh my god, I said it out loud. Specifically, blood and women's wrestling.
I'm just the woman. I can't hear that word.
And if anyone knows about blood and women's wrestling, that would be Miss Ruby Soho. Yes. Ruby, we saw you have a Muda-like level one very recently. Very awesome job, everybody involved in that match. On this matter, how do you feel? Because there's a certain section of fans that feel like women shouldn't do that. It's gross. Mm-hmm. Stay away from this. Why would they ever? It affects blah, blah, blah. How do you feel about this situation?
All right. Let me just... okay, buckle up for this one. Mm-hmm. So I was, when after that match aired, the reaction to it was very interesting to me. And at first I didn't know how I felt about it, but as time went on, I realized that this is a conversation that needs to be had. Mm-hmm. Because if blood is in general, it's just not your thing. Totally get it. I completely understand that. That's okay. That's why wrestling is this beautiful melting pot of things, is because there's something out there for everybody. But if the fact that I'm a woman and I'm bleeding is the thing that bothers you, but you're cool with like Mox and MJF and whoever bleeding, but it's just because I'm doing it is the thing you have a problem with, then it's a different conversation. Because at the end of the day, obviously, all we want as women's wrestlers is to be treated equally, to be treated the same. So I think that it was a very important conversation to be had because there was arguments on both sides. And to me, I feel like it's straying away from the one thing that we are trying to get away from is the reason that there is women's wrestling is to give you something to look at. When in reality, like, obviously, if I'm covered in blood, I'm probably less attractive to most people. And if that's your problem, then sorry to tell you, then I'm just going to keep getting more unattractive because my lipstick's all over my face all the time. My hair looks like I got electrocuted constantly when I'm wrestling. Like, that's not what I'm out there for, is to be attractive to you.
Right.
So if that is what you're watching me for, then stop watching me. You know, there's a lot of other colorful words that I could use. But at the end of the day, you know, if you've got a problem with it, don't watch it. But this is, to me, another example of us being treated equally in the vein of wrestling and in women's wrestling, is to be treated the same, to have the same expectations as the guys, and to be able to do everything that the guys are doing, including, you know, looking like Carrie.
Well, and honestly, I was a big fan of that main event. Just honestly, we've had Willow Nightingale on the show and we've sung her praises to her face. But honestly, just the combination of you two was something that at that point in time I was really getting into. Just the idea of it almost reminded me of Wednesday and Edie, for people who haven't seen Wednesday yet. It very much reminded me of that dynamic between those two characters. Do you see more for that tandem of you and Willow Nightingale? Or how has that gone for you?
I'm absolutely open to it. She was an amazing, amazing partner. And she taught me a lot. And she helped me a lot. And she supported me a lot. And I just overall just love her as a person. She brought out an enjoyment of wrestling that I haven't had in a very long time. I go out there in my matches a lot of times, and I'm singing my song, I'm jamming out, I'm having a good time, but sometimes I forget to really just enjoy this wild ride that I'm on and that I've been on for a long time. She forces me to just enjoy it. Cause like I even when I'm trying to be serious, I can't not look at her and smile. Like, it's frustrating. She's just so cute. I can't stand it. But and anytime I try to take anything too seriously, she's always the person that brings me back down to just realizing that we do have the coolest job in the world, and to be able to really enjoy it. So I am absolutely in any circumstance, any way, shape, or form that girl ever needs me, I am there. And if that is in a tag capacity or just as a human being, I'm there for her, because she has just brought such a wonderful light to my life, and is just such a beautiful person inside and out, and so unbelievably talented that I'm here for her no matter what.
How has it never come up, by the way, that she is a tattoo artist? You seem to like tattoos, just a hunch.
I got a couple.
How did that never come up?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know that it's very well known that she's a tattoo artist. I don't think that a lot of people know that about her. I don't think that she also gives the tattoo artist I don't think that she gives that off very often. But it's also interesting because a lot of people will look at me and think that I'm a tattoo artist. And every time somebody asks me that, I'm like, no, I just have a lot of really talented friends. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I'm just I can't draw the same in my life. So nobody wants me to pick up a needle and come anywhere near them, if I'm being honest. So, but yeah, I don't know. I would love it if I would get worked on by her in a heartbeat. Whatever you want to do, I wouldn't even let her tell me what she was doing. I'd just have her do it.
That's a friend.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at this point, I'm covered. Like, once you get to the level of covered that I am at this point, it becomes a lot less. Like, the significance of your tattoo becomes a lot less. Like, you just kind of whatever you want to do, I don't care.
So, talking about the idea of wanting the equivalence of what the men get in professional mm-hmm. wrestling, one of the things that's really sought after as far as AEW's women's division is considered is both time and placement. And when you think about the main events that women have had in AEW, there's really two names that come to mind when it comes to AEW main events, and that is Britt Baker and Ruby Soho. You've actually had some pretty significant main events. You've got your first one-on-one match in AEW was the main event of Dynamite Grand Slam. You had a main event against Chris Statlander in Las Vegas going into Double or Nothing, which was one where had you anticipated the crowd for that one, by the way?
No, not even close. That is something I will never forget. Like, I understand. I even said this to the fans. Like, I understood because I love Chris Statlander. I'm a fan of Chris Statlander. So I understand if I was a fan, I would be rooting also for Chris Statlander. However, the fact that I couldn't speak, I was like, yo, I don't know what you want me to do here. It's already done. Like, what? Can I? No, I can't talk. It was absolutely insane. The level of like, where I was like, I was trying to talk to a friend who was like crying and couldn't stop crying. And I was like, I'm sorry. Like, listen, it's okay. We're going to get through this, guys. We're going to get through this. Like, I didn't know. I was in such shock. Like, and obviously going into Double or Nothing later on, thank God I had Rancid. Cause I was like, I don't know if it's just, maybe Vegas just hates me. Maybe Vegas just doesn't like, but I was like, really hope that Rancid can save me in the vein of like the actual pay-per-view, because I might get booed out of the building before I even get there, if I'm being honest. So it was, that was a thing.
Woo. Well, I mean, that interestingly goes into the story of this match, because I feel like some fans picked who they decided was the AEW original and Statlander, and they picked you as like the outsider, even though they've responded really well to you since you've gotten there. So,
yeah.
I don't know if that was kind of like the building block for this storyline, but it seems close.
I've heard rumors that it was, but I'm not 100% sure. I think that this divide was probably a long time coming. Like, it was going to happen regardless because of how many people that have obviously come from somewhere else coming into the company. I think that it was inevitable because that, you know, after a while, you know, the homegrowns are like, we built this place. And, you know, the outsiders are like, we came here to try and make this place better. So I think that there's an argument on both sides. So I think that this was kind of inevitable. It just kind of, I was fortunate enough to be stuck in the middle for when it came to fruition.
So I guess finishing out that thought, because I completely got sidetracked on the fact
Vegas
that you
got sidetracked.
Right. But at the same time, you know, that's exactly how this has gone for you, where you have had a lot of and it almost has gone a little bit under the radar that you have had some monumental main event moments as far as the women's division is concerned. You just recently had a main event where you came out victorious in a triple threat situation, or I guess three way is how we're supposed to say that AEW-wise, but so in the three-way situation. So how's it felt getting those spots, getting those main event scenarios, and how do you handle that? How is the pressure as far as that's concerned?
It's, I think, for all of us as women, whenever we're handed something, or I guess not handed, but whenever we're getting given an opportunity, the pressure is so much more for us to absolutely knock it out of the park. Because the moment that we don't know when we're going to see that opportunity again. You know, it's not one of those things where it's like, oh, maybe we'll try again next week, or maybe we'll try again in a month. Like, no, if we get this, like, we have to kill it. There's no other option. So those moments are scary for me, because it's not just pressure for yourself. It's pressure for the entire roster. So if you don't do it, and you don't pave the way and set the tone for what this can look like, then you can affect other women's opportunities, right, which is a lot to handle. And so I have been so unbelievably lucky to be able to get as many main event spots as I've had, and to be able to work alongside with some incredibly talented women, and to be able to get, you know, opportunities in tournaments that I've been, you know, fortunate enough to be a part of. And, you know, I'm really excited to see, you know, the next few steps that we take in this division, because it's still fairly on the new side, you know, AEW as a whole. The strides we've made in such a short period of time is really amazing to me. And so I'm excited to see, you know, in my career span, how many more women's main events can we get? Can we get a main event of All Out? Like, can we get to that point? And I really want to be able to do that. Can we get some women's tag titles? Can we get, you know, a women's cage match? Like, I want to, we've had that, but like, I want
blood and guts. I want the blood and guts.
Yes.
Blood and guts.
Yes. That's what I meant. That's what I meant. Mm-hmm. But yes, I want to see all of them. I whether or not I'm a part of them or not. Like, I want to be around for when these monumental things happen for the women.
Yeah, definitely. So, I think kind of like wrapping it up, going into this match this weekend, how will it feel if and when you get the victory this weekend representing AEW as the AEW Women's Champion? How will it feel for you, Ruby?
So after having watched Jamie's reign thus far, she has been an absolutely incredible champion without a shadow of a doubt. Like, she has proved to everyone why they stuck by her, why the fans were enamored with her for the last few months and rooting for her and basically screaming for everyone to pay attention to Jamie Hayter. Like, she has proved it with every single match she's had. She's brought out a fight in every woman that she's had, which I think is what a true champion does, is to bring out a special level of fight to show the importance of this title. So I think that there are going to be some big shoes to fill in that instance. But I think for me, having done this for as long as I have and having gone as long as I have without holding championship gold, mm-hmm. I think I have all the ambition and all the hunger in the world to be able to be that fighting champion, to be able to represent the women in a way that all the women in the roster can be proud of. And I really genuinely, you know, would not take that honor lightly. You know, at the end of the day, I just love to fight people. So I think it'll just give me even more of an excuse to keep doing that. Mm-hmm. And to be able to, you know, really propel this division, you know, even further and do my best to, you know, represent it the best way I can.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ruby Soho. She is going to be challenging for the AEW Women's World Championship in a three-way match against Jamie Hayter and Saraya. That's this Sunday, March 5th. San Francisco, Chase Center. We'll all be there. We'll be rooting for you.
Come on, man. As a Midwesterner, I am rooting for you. The Pride of Indiana, fixture at Berwyn Eagles Club here in Chicago. I will be rooting for you.
I love that. Dang, you didn't tell me about that.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, let's go.
But thank you so much for being here on Grap City Interviews, Ruby. And we're looking forward to seeing you in the future.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you.
Peace, y'all.
Peace.